Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome to your second hour of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined by my good friend Michael Golden, author, educator. He's author of the book Unlock Congress. But he's also authored a new piece that's being posted online. And in fact, we'll have a link to it with along with this interview on the WGNradio.com website. But he wrote a piece about Chicago's history of segregation and racial strife and how what's really changed. And Michael, welcome.
Rick, it's great to be here.
And you know, race is part of the city's history. It's part of a proud point of diversity, but it's also a sad point in how the city remains probably the most segregated major city in the country.
Yeah, and there are measurements in this article versus other cities, and we pretty much come out on top. There's a few different measurements, but
a place we don't want to be.
No, of course not. And look, you and I have known each other a while. I've been involved in a couple of mayoral races, so I've gotten to know the city a lot better, I think, than most people who aren't in politics. But not until really recently did I learn a lot more about this. And Natalie Moore is quoted in the article. She wrote the book called The South Side, and she's an excellent reporter on WBEZ, and that's her beat, The South Side, where she grew up in Chatham. And she talks about just how much those neighborhoods changed, but how many awesome, wonderful middle-class black families there were like hers that they have vibrant communities. They're wonderful in so many ways, and we don't really see it, on the TV.
Chatham's a great,
absolutely,
great community.
Absolutely. But the article goes into how this started a long, long time ago. Obviously, it goes all the way back to the Great Migration and blacks escaping Jim Crow up to the north to what they thought, and it was in some ways, but they thought was going to be an escape from Jim Crow. But there are a lot of housing practices for decades. First of all, federal policies, the Homeowners Loan Corporation, they started this in terms of basically shutting African Americans out, even if they had the resources to live in a place they wanted to live. There were actual policies, and Chicago, applied it in one of the most draconian fashions. You know, there was a narrow sort of lane called the Black Belt going through the South Side, and it took a while for that to expand. And once it did, once in 1968 the Fair Housing Act was passed, right? Congress passed and said you can't do this anymore. This is discriminatory.
1968.
Right. As part of this whole Civil Rights Act. But even after that, they were flouting the rules and coming up with, there's different
redlining
ways.
Redlining discriminatory practices.
Right. There were ways of saying that, this neighborhood, there's too many X in it, and so they don't have the ability to pay back the loans, even though they might. Or in a lot of cases, they did have the resources. Things being equal, they would have gotten a mortgage loan. So, I mean, these practices still go on, and I'll tell you something.
Well, remember the covenants too.
Racial covenants. And when I realized just last week, because a friend of mine is on the Chicago Realtors Association, and that was the Chicago Real Estate Board that, almost 100 years ago, applied a lot of these things. And just recently, just last year, the CEO, who is a minority, a person of color, who's the CEO, said in public and sent a letter of apology to all minorities that had been shut out of this process and out of a better life, and said that they were complicit. I mean, it was pretty comprehensive. And I wrote in this article that's a good step, and they set up a committee to, talk about a diversity committee to talk about these issues, report them, and eliminate them if they're happening, right? But the city has to, in my opinion, face up to this. People don't like to talk about segregation and race, right? It's a very, believe me, it's a very touchy subject, even sitting here right now, and certainly writing a long article about the history of it, learning from others, myself, what's gone on, and people tiptoe around it. But I think that until a mayor, a city council too, but a mayor starts talking about this a lot and doing things to resource a lot of neighborhoods where there's great things going on in the West and the South Side. Awesome people, awesome Chicago residents who are doing great things, but it's not a fair playing field.
We're speaking with Michael Golden, author and educator. He's written Unlock Congress, also the author of a new piece about Chicago and its history of segregation and where do we go in the future. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by Michael Golden, my good friend. He's the author of Unlock Congress and also just authored a piece about Chicago's history and the role of segregation in that history, and now moving forward as we get closer to electing a new mayor. And, you know, you touched on what the realtors did and appointing like a board to review practices and diversity.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost wondering if it shouldn't be standard operating procedure today that you almost, you know, mayor, governor, whatever, is have a chief diversity officer.
I think that's a good idea, or at least someone in the mayor's office who's holding those kinds of positions or entities accountable, right, that have been responsible. And I give the Chicago realtors a lot of credit for what they did. I mean, it was a full mea culpa, and they had this event, and they had a whole discussion about it. But but here's the thing. You know, look, there are statistics upon statistics, and I put some of them in there about how racially segregated Chicago has hurt races in Chicago and in a concentration of neighborhoods. Of all the ninth graders who start CPS, after 10 years, only 6% of, let me say that again, 14 out of 100 who go into Chicago high schools get a college degree after 10 years that are a minority, and 6% of that are black men. And by the way, Mayor Emanuel's done a number of good things in this area. I just think it needs to be put on steroids in a way. And so to your point about the city-wide, what this does, this is I thought really interesting. The Urban Institute did a study, okay, and they basically compared Chicago versus 100 other largest metropolitan areas in the country, okay, and they came up with a median, right, and Chicago was obviously near the top of cities that were segregated, and what they found was that this costs our city $4 billion in income and more than 80,000 college degrees a year, the level of segregation we're at. And then they took it and said, well, what if back in the last census, 2010, we could have made Chicago at the median level of this segregation scale, just the median level, what would it have done for the city? We would have, if we had reduced segregation back to that medium, home values would have increased by $6 billion, and Chicago would have saved more than $280 million that we spend in policing incarceration. And by the way, the Urban Institute, the reason that they did this study, and they say it right in the study, is because the morality has not carried us there so far, that a lot of Chicagoans think of it through this morality lens, and I believe it should be looked at. But they looked at it and said, let's grab their attention because this is hurting the entire city. If your heartstrings are not pulled by wanting a more level playing field, just on a human level in Chicago, then think about it citywide. Think of how much greater we could be,
and look at the economics of it.
Absolutely,
because
that's what they did,
and you're paying for it.
Absolutely, in ways you don't even see every day.
Right, but. You know, regardless of who's mayor, I mean, look, your piece is extensive and it talks, you know, about a history of this city, you know, almost from DuSable, really, and where race has fit in and where the city hasn't been helpful. Now you have an open mayoral seat. I mean, these are problems that are endemic. Makes it sound like you can't fix it.
Ingrained,
right, and sclerotic. I like
yes,
to use that term.
Right.
And really, regardless of who's mayor, you can start taking steps. But this is a process that is going to have to be an evolutionary process.
Yes, no, this there's no question that you can't. This is a century in the making, more than that, and you can't obviously fix it in 4 years. But you can start, and you can do a lot of things that are a lot more visible as mayor. In the last chapter of her book, of Natalie Moore's book, The South Side, she went outside Chicago and across Chicago and learned about a number of solutions. I really recommend this book. But there are things that the city and the mayor can do that don't cost a fortune. Some of it's visibility, some of it's organization, right? Some of it's how City Hall and the police department connect with communities. Look, all the mayoral candidates, right, have talked about restoring trust with the Chicago Police Department. And, you know, it sounds cliche at this point. It is incredibly important. And I really believe that takes leadership from the top. That relationship is severely damaged. And I think that there's going to have to be visible types of events and steps taken to start rebuilding that trust a little bit.
But there again, that's going to be a lengthy process. And you know, just because of recent events, that's going to be a lengthy process to try to restore that kind of sense of community and connection.
And there's no question. We're talking about a consent decree. I mean, we're talking about the Justice Department and a consent decree. And that's a tricky area, too. There's a lot of reasons why that trust has been broken over many years, and especially, I'd say, probably the last 10 years, and especially the last 5-6 years, but you have to start somewhere. And I do believe that leadership comes from the top, and I don't just mean the head of the superintendent of the police department. You know, in this city, when it comes to the schools, when it comes to the police department, and a whole range of other entities, but particularly those two, the mayor is accountable.
Well, and you know, you touch on this piece too, and you mention about there's all kinds of organizations in the South and West Side that are working to improve the lives.
Excellent
but,
work.
But are they being coordinated?
Right.
That's the question I kind of have, where like somebody who would be a chief diversity officer could like work to help coordinate services and activities and all that kind of thing.
That's what I was talking about when I said organization. There's a way that the city can be, City Hall can be a touch point more so, and help all those great stories get organized and augment each other, right? And I think that, look, this has been a long mayoral race. And candidates have talked about a lot of issues, obviously. But as I wrote it toward the end of this article, I think people, as they're thinking about who they're going to choose next week in 9 days, should think about that and check out all the candidates and understand that it's not just about a city that's segregated and the haves and have-nots. It's about the whole city and our reputation and economically what we want to become. And which candidates have really talked about that? Which candidates have talked about it and then have solutions? And I'm just saying,
right,
voters, I hope, I am not, you know, I hope that they'll take this into consideration, because as I said, look, the title of it was A City Still Segregated, and the subhead of the article was Chicago's Epic History Still Its Biggest Obstacle. And I actually quoted James Baldwin. I'll screw it up here, but basically, he flips something and says, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing that is." I already screwed it up. Right? He basically flipped it and is saying, "If you don't face up to the truth, if you don't face up to what's happened and what the consequences have been, who's been responsible, get all the ugly truth out from under the carpet." You cannot change.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I think that comes from the top. That comes from our government. That comes from the leader of our
government. Those who fail to acknowledge history are condemned to repeat it.
Or at least rhyme it.
Michael Golden, author, educator, author of the book Unlock Congress, author of piece on Chicago, the history of segregation, that you can find at WGNradio.com. You can find it along with this interview on our website. Michael, thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure. First time we haven't talked about Congress probably in 2 years. Thanks, Rick.
Not much to talk about these days.